Isaiah chapter 64. That's awesome singing. I like to preach the burden of my heart today. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 64. But I'm honored to be here. And at my age, I'm honored to be anywhere. Praise God. And it's good to see the diplomats and all. But God wants to do something special, right? I wonder, Brother Snyder, you'll like this. And I want you to listen real close. This is something I found yesterday in some of my stuff at home. And it said, evolution in the average church. Evolution in the average church. Maybe there's something to this ideal of evolution. Maybe people did descend from lower animals. The evidence is against the church. The church folks are often as stubborn as mules about church work, sly as a fox with their business deals, busy as bees in spreading the latest gossip, blind as a bat to the world's needs, quiet as a mouse in spreading the gospel. This is pretty good, ain't it? And have eyes like a hawk to see the mote in their brother's eyes. They're eager as a beaver about a bazaar or barbecue, but lazy as a dog about prayer meeting. Anybody guilty? And he said, mean as a snake when things don't go their way, but gentle as a lamb when they need the pastor's aid. Brother Snyder put that one in there. Noisy as crows for the church to advance, but slow as snails in visiting the unchurched. Many are night owls on Saturday night, but bed bugs on Sunday morning. I can tell some of you guilty. Slippery as L's on Sunday night and scarce as hen teeth on Wednesday night. So we do believe in evolution, don't we? Amen. Did you hear, you know why? That a man cannot be married to two women at once. Bible says no man can serve two masters. And all the ladies said amen. Amen. What a wonderful. Thanks, Pastor, for letting me be here. We always look forward to coming here and being with our precious friend and his dear wife and family. But we're grateful that God is with us. And I'm asking that God, I have a real heavy burden to preach what I'm going to preach this morning. And ladies and gentlemen, the Christian life is not a walk, but it's a war. We're in a battle. And it's not a playground, it's a battleground. And there's a battle going on in the seen world and the unseen world. We're facing things today that we've never faced before. And if we're going to do anything for the Lord, we better do it quickly because everything's pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ. I want to give you three things. And here in these first three verses of chapter number 64. First of all, if you'd like to write down, there's a great need felt. There's a great need felt. Secondly, in verse 2, there's a great work to be done. Also in verse 3, there's a great results sought. Three simple things, and we'll be out here at 2 o'clock. Amen. Here in the Word of God, Israel had experience the blessings of God. You and I have experienced the blessings of God. America has experienced the blessings of God. But tell you the truth, God is taking his hand off of our nation. You don't see people as thrilled about being an American anymore. And we're going down morally and spiritually. And things that are happening today you never thought would happen. But there was a time, I mean, here in Israel, they had rejoiced at his presence. They had rejoiced, and I longed to see, get back to the churches across the country, like it used to be years ago when people wept and people cried about revival and about people getting saved and lost people getting saved. But now, again, they had gotten away from God, and their heart longed for once more for the presence of God. And so I want to preach this morning on longing for the presence of God. You say, preacher, he's here. Yes, he's here. You know, you might believe every time I hear people say, I go to church, I don't get anything out of it. Well, that's your fault, because Jesus said, where two or three are met together in my midst, I'm in the midst of them. Every time you go to the house of God, he's there. But you didn't prepare yourself to worship the Lord Jesus. And now Israel is longing for the presence of God. One of my favorite scriptures is the psalm, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee as in a dry and thirsty land where the water is, that I may see thy power and thy glory. So as I've seen in the sanctuary. Another great psalm is Psalm 41. And the Bible says in Psalm 41, as a hart, as a deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The psalmist was talking about a deer. I've never deer hunted. A lot of people do, but that's fine. But I'm just saying a hart as he desires the water. They say if a deer has been wounded, he'll run as fast as he can to the water to cool that wound. And I know where's a place that we can go to the Lord and get healed and get refreshed. So I want to use this today, and if I'm kind of full, I mean, to get to thinking about what I'd like to see God do here these weeks, and got a text from Sammy this morning, said, Dad, I'm praying that the Holy Ghost have fall upon this place. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, how many would you like to see a real move of God this week? Amen. All right? It starts in you. It starts in you. You don't wait for anybody else. First of all, let's look down here and see, and let's get in to see what God wants us to have this morning. First of all, he said that there's a great need that was felt. I want you to look at that word, oh. I'm sure that all the years that I've been here, I've related this story to you about a lady by the name of Evans, Mrs. Lily Mae Evans. That when I was just a kid, about 6 years old, moved to town, but the Evans family lived right down below our house, and just a short distance, and they were poor like we were, but they were good people. Mr. Evans died, and Orby and Lenore, the daughter and son, was in the family. And I remember after Mr. Evans had died and buried and everything, in the afternoon down behind her house and our house ran a stream of water. And I remember Lily Mae Evans was one of the greatest saints of God I've ever known in my life. Just a plain woman, but she loved God. And for many years, she sent me $1 every year in October and for my birthday. And she's gone now. And if y'all want to go ahead and give me some for my birthday this year, it'd be all right. Hallelujah. I made that statement in Princeton, West Virginia. Ended up with $86. Hallelujah. But anyway, I'm just saying. But she was a godly woman. I just about 5 or 6 years old when this happened. But it's as clear in my mind. But here's what stuck in my mind all of those years. Lily Mae Evans get down there and she'd say, Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Leonard's gone. What am I going to do? I can hear that echo in my mind. And when I read this passage of Scripture, I thought about Lily Mae Evans. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. Do you understand what this is saying? Oh, that I would rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Here, they want that curtain removed that's blocking the blessings of God. I feel like there's a curtain across the country blocking the presence of God. But God God is looking for people today, just like these people that are sitting here this morning. God's looking for you. If you profess to know Christ, we can change. Did you know something could happen here this week that would stir this whole area down through here? When the Holy Ghost of God begins to move and God begins to fall down into the congregation. I've been blessed this morning, but I mean, God's got something we never experienced before. God doesn't give you leftovers. It's always new and refreshing in the Lord. But he said, remove that curtain that's blocking the presence of God Almighty. And he says, come down. It pictures the omnipotent God stepping down from heaven and coming down and intervening. And that's what it's going to take for God to do something, is to intervene and just come down in our presence in hearing the word of God. And he said right here that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. He's talking, see that word mountains is talking about something solid, something that's strong, and it's an obstacle that's hindering the blessings of God. What is it in this church? What is it in your life that's blocking the blessings of God? Oh, God's blessed us. We can say, yeah, God's blessed us, but I'm talking about spiritual blessings. God's got things for you as a believer. I don't care how long you've been saved. It's new every day. Walking with God every day, hour by hour. And he says, move these mountains that's blocking that our way and step down and come. Heaven seemed like it was closed. I get the place and I go to churches and it seemed like there's something blocking and stopping the blessings of God. Are you hungering for God to do something? Are you really wanting God to do something? And he said, come down and remove the things that's blocking the blessings of God Almighty. Come down in a direct way. You know why? Churches are losing their power. I go traveling as I do. I see very few places. There's mighty Holy Ghost conviction in the services. I see very few places because we're content and we're satisfied. One thing about a church like this, you've had it so good, you can become complacent and satisfied what's already done. But honey, God, how many of you believe God's got more than this? Have you ever believed that? God has something and he wants to send down. He says here, remove the curtain that's there. Christians have lost their zeal. I hear people say, well, almost didn't come today. Didn't feel good. I want to say, didn't go back home. I'm just saying, hey, how many of you coming to church today thought God was going to do something special for you? Haven't you thought that, man, today's the day I'm going to dedicate my life to God, start going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to go start, hey, Lord, do something for me. I remember over in North Carolina, up in the mountains up there. I mean, God gave us a revival meeting, and some of the churches closed on Wednesday night and came over. And I remember on Wednesday night, this man stood up, and he said, just the services started, and he said, preacher, can I say something? He said, sure. He said, tonight, are you listening? Tonight, for the first time in a long time, I couldn't wait to get to the house of God. Did you hear what I said? Did you get up this morning? Oh, no. I had a hard week. Hey, Lord, have mercy. I'm just talking about I get up this morning 5:30. Hey. Oh, Lord, I started praying again. Oh, Lord, do something for me today. I'm selfish. If you don't want it, I'll take it. You understand that? But God says right here, will you come down and rend the heavens? And we got to realize, ladies and gentlemen, God wants to do it, and yet we're blocking. They desired a new manifestation of his presence. Oh, that thou wouldest come down. They knew that in him was the remedy for every need. God is the remedy of every need. His power and his glory would put this world to shame and put the devil on the run. In my lifetime, I've seen a lot of great things, but in my lifetime, there's never, ever, ever, ever been a time when we needed God any more than we do today. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, it's decaying, and the church is closing on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. They're tired of going to church, but I tell you, the Lord says, even more so, as you see that day approaching. Go to the house of God. Go with the saints of God. And the reason that God wants to do it, he wants to come. He's just looking for somebody. He's just looking for a place for it to happen. God says, here, come down. We need never. I think about it a lot. I think about the old days when your dad, man, I thought about him all week. Last week, I remember coming up in Virginia. Man, I've seen your dad cry. He didn't know when to stop preaching, but he kind of like his son, but I'm just saying. No, brokenhearted. Oh, man. I remember coming in the old building. And oh, God did something. Ladies and gentlemen, God put this church here to be a lighthouse of old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing Christians to seek some things from God. He said, oh, you come down and let me see what's going on. We need a new manifestation of his presence. We need a new manifestation, not only that of his power. I like that song, oh Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. I'll preach, I'm not emotional. If you let God touch you, you'll get emotional. I had a fellow go to me one time at a meeting. It really got on. I mean, God, the Holy Ghost came in that night on the way to the car. He said, preacher, I almost shouted tonight. I said, help yourself. He said, whoop. Maybe I ought to have a whooping spell or something. But I'm just talking about here. Hey, they needed a new manifestation of his power. And we need a new manifestation of the promises of the Word of God. God's got promises in there every day. Let me tell you, for everything you face, there's a promise. For everything that you come, there's something in the Word of God that will help you. You hear me? A lot of people are troubled in their mind. You know the scripture I give them? Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. When you got a burden, he said, cast all thy burden upon the Lord. Cast them upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is, because he cares for you, and you go back to that, we need the provision. We need the purity our people used to be. The Word of God talked about, be ye holy, for I am holy. I was talking to your mom a while ago, and we were talking about the living every day. Every day. What if this is your last service? What would you do? You say, preacher, listen, last week before last, the preacher friend, he came up to me in a meeting. I just helped him, and he came up again, and he said, I was in the hospital today to visit this lady, and while I'm there, her brother drops dead. And then her husband's sister, same day, about the same hour, dropped dead. You don't know where you're going to be in another service or not. But I'm telling you what, Pastor, we're running out of revivals. We're running out of time to do something. God is looking for you. God's looking for you. You've been born again. And we need a new manifestation of the presence and the power of God Almighty. You see what I'm trying to say here? He's talking about there's a lot of people just going through all kinds of things. But he said here, we need the provisions of God. Hey, oh Lord, just come down and do something for me. Do something for me. Do something for this in this Jubilee meeting. That God, they'll start talking around this area, Powder Springs. Do you know what's going on over at Calvary? No, they didn't split. God intervened. God's people got together and they, with one mind and one heart. It's sad to say, but maybe in this congregation, you have no desire to do any more than you're doing. You think if you show up at church, you've done your duty. No, no, no. If when the power of God and the presence of God begins to move in your life, then you begin to see things differently and you want to give yourself to the Lord. Amen. Amen. And then notice now, secondly, he says, there's a great work to be done. But here, look in verse 2. And when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil. It's a melting work. Look at it. The mountains may flow down at thy presence. Mountains? Yeah, I just told you about mountains. And he said the mountains fall down. There's mountains of discouragement. Don't lift your hand. Anybody here today discouraged? Anybody here going through a valley? Your pastor mentioned a while ago. I mean, man, there's all kinds of needs in this service today. Some of you need to be more faithful. You need to get back to your prayer life and your Bible reading life. You need to be faithful to the things of God. By the way, this church is not I've heard people say, that's my church. No, it belongs to Jesus Christ. It's not even your pastor's church. It belongs. Everything's about Jesus. Everything we're doing today will be about Jesus. You sing about Jesus and we talk about Jesus, but everything is determined. The children of God, most of them want nothing. They're dissatisfied to attend church and then that's it. But there's work that needs to be done after you leave the house of God. Amen. Discouragement, mountains of pride. Pride. I'm doing pretty good. I'm just as good as anybody else. That's pride. Pride. Baptists can strut sitting down. They don't have to walk a lick. They can strut sitting down. I'm doing pretty good. That's the problem. We're not doing what we could do. Can't. I want to ask you this question. How many of you, since this meeting last year, has led one soul to Christ? Don't raise your hand. How many of you in this service today, you know somebody just stopped going to church and not going anywhere, maybe attended here. How many of you got somebody going out and seeing them, telling Jesus still loved them? Get them back in the house of God. You understand what I'm saying? It's when your heart burns and tums and Rolaids can't put it out. There's a fire burning. I say this a lot. I've said it here. They say to me, when are you going to quit? I ain't. I might have to sometime, but I ain't. Because the fire's burning. Down inside. A melting fire. Lord, set my soul on fire. Help me. And there's mountains of indifference. Pastors are saying, I can't get them to do this. I can't get them to. We try to do this and just a lot of indifference. You want to excel in sports? Nothing wrong with that. You want to excel in your job? Nothing wrong with that. But why not try selling out and give your best to Jesus? Give your best. Everything you got. As long as you can, give it to Jesus Christ, the darling Lamb of God. He died for you. You know the clothes you're wearing now? He helped you get them. Food you ate today? He made it possible. Job you got, he made it possible. Whatever you have, the earth is the Lord's. You don't own anything. I walk in and out of our house when I'm in the home, and I'd never go in the house, go outside and come back in. I don't thank the Lord for letting me live in his house. Amen. I even thank the Lord for making car payments on my car. I'm just saying, indifference. Did you know that 97.6 of professing Christians never, ever, ever win a soul to Christ? Jesus said, you're my witnesses. I was in Southwest Virginia and the year before last, and I go there in that area every year, and I went in one of my mission churches there, and I was in the motel, pastor and his wife and two daughters. They'd pick me up at night. We'd go about 18 miles on up a road. But anyway, I noticed I went down the aisle. And I'm coming out of the room and going down the hall. And this nice black family was there. The man and his wife and two or three children. They all dressed up. And I said, wow, y'all look great tonight. And I said, I'm a preacher. I'm going to preach. And so on. And he said, well, I am too. I said, wonderful. I said, God bless you. Well, in the meantime, my windshield broke. A little crack, and then that thing went all the way across. So I had called up the Blue Field and came down, and two men were fixing my mirror. I said to one, I said, are you a Christian? He said, no. And to the other, he said, I am. He said, I'm a Jehovah Witness. And you know what? That motel was filled with Jehovah Witnesses come to Southwest Virginia to evangelize Baptists. I said, you can't get Baptists to do that. But the false religions do that. You see how quiet it gets? Oh, God, will you come down? Will you come down in a mighty visitation and stir my soul? Do something for me. I know how this has come to mind. I'm positive. I'm sure that I've said this before. And I've used this lady before. She just came to mind. And you say, well, preacher, I'm not as young as I used to be. Yeah, you can tell that. So I checked up on you. You didn't do anything when you was young either. For Christ. Martha Rector, 75 years old. She broke her hip. Chilhowee Baptist Church, either any way you went, had to go upstairs. She lived in a little mobile home about two blocks. She and her husband, he wasn't able to get out. Had an old car, Ford, green, top green, and two different colors. Had to shift the car. After she broke her hip, got able to come back to church, she was on a crutch. And it helped her up the stairs. She's always coming to the altar when people got saved, brokenhearted. So one afternoon, my phone rang, and I went in there and answered. I said, hello. And she said, I said, somebody on the other end, oh, preacher, oh, oh, oh. I said, who is this? Oh, preacher, this is Martha Rector. I just had somebody saved back over. And those winding, move those winding heels back to there. And she'd go by every Thursday. My phone would ring. 75 years old. 20 years later, I'm at Emmanuel Baptist Church, Kingsport. Pastor said to me that night, said he came, looked over at me and said, we're going to the nursing home in the morning, and I'll pick you up for lunch. You don't have to go. And I said, okay. Young lady came in, sat down on the front pew, and with her white uniform on, she had just come to the hospital, she and her husband, young couple. And she came with me at the end of the service. She said, I've heard you talk about Martha Rector. I said, one of the greatest Christian ladies I ever knew in my life. And she said, she's in that nursing home. I just turned around and I told the pastor, I said, come and get me in the morning. I went over there and I was attending that little chapel where they had the services, and she was standing there where the nurse was. And I said, ma'am, where's Martha Rector? I said, preacher, that's her right up there in that wheelchair. I went down there and put my hand, because she loved me and Miss Joy a lot and so much. And anyway, she didn't know me. And I walked in front of her, and she started crying. And she said, oh, preacher, I wish I could get out of here and go soul winning. That nurse said, preacher, everybody in that ward that wasn't saved is now. 95. Hey, you're not too old to tell people about Jesus Christ. How many of you witnessed to Jesus? Did I tell you about the, I see a dear black fellow back there. You like this, sir. Hey, you like this. I was witnessing this black lady in Cracker Barrel in North Carolina. And I think I may have told this last year, but a lot of you don't remember it anyway. And I said, are you a Christian? She turned and looked at me. And she said, preacher, I'm in the fog. I said, what? She said, yeah, full of God. Get full of God. The closer you walk to Jesus, the heavier your burden will be for other people. It's the nearest thing to the... If you want to do something to please the Lord, get somebody saved. Be faithful unto God. It's a burning work. As when the melting fire burneth. Isaiah talked about a spirit of burning. You see, it's a warming work. When God begins to work, the Bible said the fire causes the waters to boil. In other words, you hear what it said? When there's a fire starts in your heart, a warming in your heart, a love for God in your heart again, and all that. Hey, in other words, what I'm trying to tell you, our testimony will be on fire. You don't have to worry about what you're going to say if your heart's on fire. Amen. Not only that, your prayers will be on fire. Your prayers. How many of you pray every day? How many of you have prayer in your home with your family? Pastor, I'm trying to get people to start nightly having church in their home with their family, praying with their children. The average person, they don't have family altars in their homes. But if you get people praying at home, you'll always have your home in church. It's just something about it. It's just something about it. Our affections will be on fire. Goodness. My wife and I, next week, will be married 61 years. Last year, Brother Snyder, I said, baby, if you'll straighten out about that much, we'll have a perfect marriage. She said, it works both ways. And I love her today more than I ever. I've been saved since I was 12. There's a deeper love and a driving in my heart for Jesus than I've had in all my life. Everybody here can walk out of here today closer to God than you've been in a long time. You say, tell me how. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Here's the word of God. Oh, Lord, will you come down? And right here, your desires. I mean, if it's a burning inside, you'll have a desire to do something for God. Our souls will be on fire. It's a burning work. That's what I'm praying we'll see this morning and tonight and rest of this week. A burning work. The choir with a new touch of God. And the preachers with a new touch of God. And saints come willing to do what God has impressed upon you to do. To please him for the glory of God. Now let me show you the last thing. It's a great results that are sought. Now notice what it says. To make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Goodness, what's the result? To make thy name known. To make the Lord's name known. To make him known. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ who lives inside us. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Sunday morning only Christianettes don't get the job done. SMO Christians, they show up Sunday morning and that's it. But when the fire burns, like I was sharing with you about that man in old Andrews, North Carolina, he said, I couldn't wait to get to the... That's what I'm talking about. That's what he's talking about here. Now notice what he says. That thy name be known to thine adversaries. That thy name may be known. I was in Decatur, Georgia. Alabama. And was having breakfast one morning. And one of the neighboring preachers came and had breakfast with us. You know what he said? He said, I went within a mile of the church, and there was a family there. Didn't know anything at all about Jesus. And heard about Jesus. It's a melting work. It'll set you on fire. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, please. Come down. Notice this. His name is a saving name. Hey, what I'm trying, he didn't say go to Allah. He didn't say go to Buddha. He didn't say go to the Pope. He didn't say go to Confucius. But everybody gets saved. Our president said there's more than one way to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not but one way. And that's through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Oh, I heard O'Reilly say there's more than one way. He also believes, and I like his commentary on Fox, but he also believes the more he gives away is going to secure him. He's always giving stuff away. You know why? He thinks it's going to help him get to heaven. If you could get to heaven any other way except Jesus, why die? Why go to the cross? Why come down and suffer shame? The only way to heaven is through the name of Jesus Christ. Woo! Glory! That's the only way. It's a name. It's a saving name. It's a lovely name. He's the lily of the valley. Woo! He's a bright in the morning star. I found out years ago, Alan, down in Israel, I read this, and they said that they had lily patches and everything, and the dogs would get to running the rabbits. And the rabbits found out a secret. Said when they learned if they went down to the lily patch, the dogs couldn't smell them anymore. And when the hounds of hell started run to the lily, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen. It's a lovely name. It's not only that, but it's a burden-lifting name. A burden-lifting. You got a burden today? I know the people said, well, I should have gone to the altar today. I've heard them say, I said, why didn't you? Well, I just didn't. He's a burden-lifting name. Go down to the hospital where somebody's suffering and start talking about Jesus. Start talking about Jesus. Go down to the funeral home. Start mentioning the name of Jesus. It's a lovely name, but it's a burden-lifting name. Hallelujah. Where could I go but to the Lord? Some of you got lost loved ones. You got people lost. But loving Jesus, showing them the way. You ought to come down this morning and pray. Maybe you just attend church. You're missing church. Don't bother you on Sunday. You can go ball games everywhere else. It don't bother you. You know why? There's something missing there. You have no desire. It's God's house. You're saying to the Lord, I will do this today. No. It's a burden-lifting name. You see, when you get in trouble, you want the Lord. And we cry out to God. But it's a burden-lifting name. But it's a life-giving name. If you're here today and you're not sure, don't ever leave a service until you know that you know that you've been saved by the grace of God. I mean, if there's any doubt at all, get it settled today. This may be your last service. This may be your last service. It may be my last message. But I'm preaching the burden of my heart to you. God, I feel it, wants to just do something unusual in this meeting for the glory of God. Not only that, it's a heaven-assuring name. It's a heaven-assuring name. It's a heaven-assuring name. This pastor was closing his sermon, and he closed it like this. He that hath the Son hath life. 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 When he got home that morning or that day, his little daughter came up and said, Daddy, said your record got stuck this morning. He said, yeah, but didn't it stick in a good place? In a good place. It's about Jesus. That the nations may tremble. There was a time our nation, they trembled in America. There was a time lost people and cold Christians, indifferent Christians come to church and that listen and realize they're not pleasing the Lord. They come to the altar and pray. I find so many people dissatisfied attending church, and that's it. But what are you going to do when you face your record? When you face your record, you're making a record of church record, your attendance, and your all the other things. God's got it down. Look what he's done for you. I want to make this statement one more time. This could be the time, and this could be the meeting, this could be the place that God sent Holy Ghost stirring in this Jubilee that will stir this whole place around here for God. Why? News get out. Said why over at Calvary they were hugging next Sunday morning and they were apologizing because they hadn't been going to church. I was in the church, oh, Steve Swaffle's church a few years ago. I'm in there, years long, a lady came down, middle-aged girl, and she got real victory. And she said, I want to apologize to the church. I'd gotten away from church. Haven't been coming to church. And I haven't been faithful. I want you to forgive me. I wonder if there are a lot of folks that way. And I said, Lord, it's your house, and I've been slack. I don't even pray unless I don't even read the Bible. But my desire, and I'd like to see in this, but tonight, if the Lord hadn't come, I'm going to preach on missing God's best. Missing God's best. You say, preach, it's a Jubilee. How better to start Jubilee knowing we're right with God? Knowing we're where we need to be. I know the burden of your pastor. He wants the best for you, and he wants the best church we can have for Jesus' sake. Again, it's his church. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. I want you to stand with your heads bowed, please. While our heads bowed a moment, thank you for listening. Oh, that I would have come down. We need you, Lord. We need to see something in my life, in my family, in my home, my church. Lord, there may be people here today. There may be people here today got lost.